Okay, it's this time of the week again when I go and talk to Shane Murphy, and usually I'm talking to Shane on the phone, but Shane is actually in the studio with me this afternoon, so we're privileged to have that. So Shane, good afternoon, how are you?
I'm great, Eric, and yourself?
I'm great, thank you very much. Bit of a change around today, I think. There's a couple of restrictions after being lifted again. I think this, and next week is going to be a bit bigger, better again, so we're kind of getting our life some bit back to normal.
We're being told it's coming back to normal anyway, you know, that's what we're being told. It's unusual when you can actually see lots of people with smiles on their face in one of the wettest days we've had in May so far, that's a good sign.
It is really. Yeah. Like, I mean, hairdressers are open, barbers are open, click and collect, and like
Penny's open as well,
yeah. So there we go. Yeah. Like, you know, this big change, isn't it? And I see in Middleton there this morning, Sports Direct by appointment or whatever like that. I think you can win a lot of shops,
yeah.
I think.
They're all doing that appointment or something like that, yeah. So, unfortunately, this isn't the first time we've come out and this has happened. A lot of people are still a little bit okay. We know at least the vaccines are getting out there, so at least that's the change this time around.
Exactly. And I actually registered for mine yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how long it'll be before I get it or anything like that. A lot of people I know are after getting it, and which is great as well. And I think
Leo Varadkar said today like that they're hoping to, you know, to 250,000 at the end of this month that's the numbers are going up rapidly, and as we head down through the different age groups, the more and more numbers like will be there, like, you know, I mean, you're in your 50, I presume, 50, early 50s.
50-ish.
So, I mean, you know, that once it gets down to the 40, that decade, like, I mean, really the numbers will start pumping up, like,
So it is great. No, it is exciting news, really. And I think it's giving us a little bit of more fresh impetus again, I suppose.
Exactly.
So it is all good that way. So, Shane, today we're going to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome.
Yes.
I know we spoke a little bit about it off air, but just tell people, first of all, what is imposter syndrome?
Well, I think a lot of people will actually understand what I'm talking about. They probably never actually heard of the word imposter syndrome. But I suppose, like what the word says, it's an imposter in your own head. So you don't feel like you know who you are. I suppose the best example I have is when a client of mine who would have been a very famous footballer, and he had an all-star and everything, and I remember talking to him inside, and we were talking to him about his game and all that sort of stuff, and he used to say that it was just the bounce of the ball. The luck of the ball would come into his arms. It wasn't skill. He didn't have any skill.
The
bounce of the ball came into his hand and he'd score a goal or he'd score a point, and it would just be the bounce of the ball. It was nothing to do with him. He had no skill. He had no nothing. It was just the bounce of the ball. So it's when people say to you, oh, that was just lucky, or, you know, inside in your mind that you just actually don't have that confidence. You don't have that belief in yourself that you actually are. And, you know, it's big around high achievers, people who actually are aiming high or aiming for a lot, they're aiming for perfection. You know, I mean, inside themselves, like they always kind of think to themselves, oh, I only got that because of the way, you know, he just promoted me because I was wearing the right shoes or something. They'll always find an excuse for why they actually achieved something in their life.
And what causes that, Shane? Why would someone believe, or why would they think like that?
Well, a lot of it goes back to your childhood. A lot of it would go back to, you know, if your parents would have said things to you like, you can't go out like that while the neighbours think of you or something like that, or you might have been you might be criticised by your parents, you know, and you might have been told that you'll never be good enough to do something, you'll never achieve perfection, you'll never be as good as your sister, you'll never be good as your brother, or you're constantly criticizing them and kind of saying to them like, you know, you can't do this, you can't do it the right way, you know. It's just trying to find that balance. So I mean, you know, I know parents are trying to do their best to try and finding that balance is always hard.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's when it goes to an extreme level, people just can't get it. So I mean, you know, I mean, when you're inside in your own head and you're thinking to yourself, I'll never be able to get this. You know, I mean, one of the big things around imposter syndrome is around the fact that you actually want perfection in your head. In your mind, you want everything to be exactly right, exactly perfect, and it'll never be perfect. for imposter syndrome mind, it will never, never be perfect. Same as your type of career you might go in, you might actually become a CEO of a company and you actually don't believe that that's good enough, that you have to go further, you have to go further, that you will never, ever get it right. So it causes a huge amount of anxiety in people, a huge amount of, like, people, I suppose, coming out of, people coming out of COVID and stuff like that would be struggling to even come out of their door and stuff like that. You know, I suppose the reason I wanted to talk about this on the radio was that 70% of people in the world struggle with this. And I 70% of people in the world struggle from this. And I guarantee, talking on the radio with you this moment, I guarantee there's everybody, most people that would actually be listening to this would actually say, actually, I kind of know what he's talking about. And I mean, what's interesting about this is when you realise what it is, you're actually nearly there as far as being cured, because you suddenly realise, oh, this isn't normal. This is not the way everybody feels. You know, this type of, you know, I used to feel it myself, like, you know, that I couldn't achieve, I couldn't get to it. Like, rather than actually relaxing in your own body and actually being comfortable with who you are and being comfortable about who you are on the outside, because it's all internal. Everything about this imposter syndrome is all going on in your head. It's all this self-doubt, this self-criticism, this worry and this negativity that you're telling yourself that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy to be here. You're not worthy to be doing this job. I'm doing this job at the moment, but I know that I got this job by accident. I know because Mary fell over coming into work and broke her leg. I got this job. You never believe in yourself. There's no actual belief that you actually are worthy enough to get this.
And I suppose it's like a chase then all the time, really. You're chasing for something. You're chasing for that perfection, or you're chasing for that ease of mind, or you're chasing for that recognition, chasing to you know, to fit in or something like that, but you're never going to get there while you're thinking like that, are you?
Well, no, I mean, if you set yourself a goal or set yourself a standard and say, I am, by the end of this year, I am going to achieve this and I'm going to get huge recognition from this. When you actually get there, you actually say, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy for this. I shouldn't be here. What am I doing here? I'm a fraud. You know, I have a lot of people, who've actually said to me, you know, I'd say to them, oh, you move jobs a lot. And they'd go, oh, I might be found out. They might know I'm a fraud. They might know that I did this by accident. I got there by accident.
I know some people, and you probably know some people, that like that, they seem to be overachieving. They're stuck in everything. They're doing bits of everything. And in their head, they're probably, well, they're giving off the impression that they're quite happy doing all this, and they're quite happy to... but you know, you see, like we'll say, in social, especially since social media came along the scene, people are banging up, I'm doing this today and I'm doing that tomorrow, I'm doing more of it next week, and I did some last week, and I'm going to be great at this and that. But are they chasing that? Are they on the chase again?
Well, most people that are struggling with imposter syndrome are trying to do everything and anything to deflect away from you actually seeing them. That's what they think. They think that when I actually see that person, when someone actually sees me, that they won't like what they see. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they'll do everything in their power to deflect it away. And bear in mind, it's all happening internal, and most people have no idea what's going on. You know, I mean, you know, there are extreme cases like what you described, but most people will just be, you know, listening to this radio show and thinking about walking down on the boardwalk and actually thinking, oh, I hope no one looks at me, look at the way I'm wearing my jumper. Oh, I put on two odd socks by mistake. You know, I hope no one spots it. And there is minimum of imposter syndrome. When you have feelings within yourself where you actually don't trust in yourself, or you actually are worried that someone is thinking something about you or anything like that, that's what they call imposter syndrome. Mm. And it's a name, you know, as I mentioned to you off air, like it's something you probably never heard of. But when I mentioned what exactly it was, you went, oh, OK, I know what you're talking about now, Shane. I understand what you're saying. And sometimes actually naming it as a syndrome actually helps, because you actually realise, oh, there's something going on here. And I know that I felt like this a lot all my life, but I actually never knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. Is this wrong? Like, and I mean, you know, I mean, it just goes back to, you know, talking to people and sharing what's going on with you. And you know, it's just, you know, imposter syndrome is a little bit of a challenge to change. First of all, it's realizing what's actually going on for you is a huge moment. You know, people have to say to me, they have a eureka moment when they suddenly actually name it to them and they actually do it. But you actually have to change a mindset. So, I mean, obviously therapy is the big thing to help people with this, you know.
And I think, right, you have your eureka moment, but that eureka moment is I'm good enough.
Well, it's not. It's really around the fact that you actually realise that you actually have something going on with you, that these feelings of self-doubt and self-criticism are not normal. Most people that go through this actually go to me, oh, is that the way everyone thinks?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you actually feel. You feel that everyone actually thinks this way. Because logically, we shouldn't all be, you know, comfortable in our own skin and be actually okay with that the inside and the outside actually match with each other. Most people struggle with that. It takes a long time and an awful lot of work on yourself to actually get the inside to match the outside.
So like, some people probably recognise it or like, right, we know that it is a syndrome now, like, but are people aware that they're like this, or that they have to be told, look, this is what's happening, and it is not normal?
I guarantee there'll at least be 10 people that are listening to this radio at the moment that have suddenly just actually went to them, that's it, I understand now, that makes sense, that makes complete sense what they're talking about on the radio.
Yeah.
Never knew I felt like this. All right, this is actually something. And as I said, the milder version can just literally be you realising what's going on, and that fixes it. Because when you actually become aware that how you're feeling, you'll start relaxing within yourself. You'll start saying, oh, okay, this is a something. This isn't how anybody else feels like, you know. So, I mean, you know, most people do feel it. And I think that 70% is actually quite a small number compared to, I think most people in the world will have felt this at some stage in their life.
I would think so, because, I mean, like, you know, we all, whether we like it or not, we all at some stage have felt, you know, maybe I'm not good enough to do this, or you know, like I even when I started this, you know, are people listening? Do they care what I want to say? You know, I'm only bluffing. Like you said at the start, and this is only one example. And I mean, this could be in any walk of life or any job you're doing, any sport you're playing, or anything like that. We all have doubts. But
it's when those doubts, like, I mean, we all, like, the very first day you were on the radio show, everybody would be nervous, would have doubts. And even,
yeah,
you know, the first three
or
4 weeks going in, and you would have doubts. It's when these are continuous.
Yes.
And that these
That's
are actually overwhelming you. And I suppose one of the big things that comes out of this is social anxiety. You know, I mean, huge amount of people that would actually, and this is what we're going to have an onslaught, an avalanche of when people come out of COVID, is a huge amount of people struggling around social anxiety from this. You know, maybe on maybe next week we might actually talk a little bit more around social anxiety. But I mean, the big thing about this is that, you know, it's one thing to just have that little bit of a doubt that you don't think you're good enough, that you can't do it. It's when it constantly goes on in your head, when you have to aim for that perfectionism, that you have to aim for constantly getting. Trying to climb Mount Everest, and every time you get to the top, you have to go further.
Yeah.
And you have that feeling within you, you know, I mean, people who struggle with this, like, would be, say, if they're going to a party or something like that, that before they go, they memorise everyone's name before they go to make sure that they actually get it right. And then when they're actually at the party and they come away from the party and they've done well, they actually say to themselves, okay, the only reason I was a hit was that I memorised the names. Do you see the circle, the vicious circle that you get stuck into?
Yes.
You constantly, even though you've done everything right to be at that party and you remember all the names, then because you remembered all those names, that is the only reason that you actually achieved it. No other reason, it's not you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a vicious cycle that you get caught into, this vicious cycle of, you know, harming yourself by actually not believing that you can actually do it. So you're in a vicious cycle. You know, anyone that has struggled with anxieties or felt the anxieties, felt that anguish within yourself, the sweats and all that sort of stuff, it's a constant cycle of that anxiety, constant. You're waking up in the morning, you're actually, you know, you're putting on your lucky shoes, and, you know, you go to work and you haven't put on your lucky shoes, and you suddenly have a crap day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a horrible, horrible cycle to get into, you know. So I suppose the key is to just, you know, people to just become aware of it. And if it's quite a bad episode that you have, that you've actually been doing it for a while, you know, the only way really is to go talk to a therapist.
And I suppose, like, as you said, a lot of people won't need to go to a therapist. Most people probably won't. But as you say, if it is something that's constant, then you really need to talk to someone. And I mean, it is an easy enough fix, I would imagine.
Well, you literally have to change someone's mindset. You actually have to work with their belief system, their core belief system. So this would, a lot of people, let's say you're in your 40s and your 50s years of age, and you've actually had this thought and this belief system within you since you were a child. You're talking about changing someone's mind of 30 years. So that takes a good bit of therapy, a good bit of work to do, helping people to actually change that mindset and actually start getting them to believe in themselves and actually trust that what they have done and what they have achieved is all about them, only about them. It's absolutely fantastic. And when clients actually change, and I've seen it happen so many times, and they've actually start believing in themselves, such a powerful, wonderful feeling. You know, that's why I believe that when getting into psychotherapy was such a fantastic thing for me, to see the person change, and suddenly they actually believe in themselves and say, I am good enough for what I did. I did this on my own. I achieved all this by myself. And it's a huge eureka moment for somebody, because, you know, all their life they disbelieve that they actually did it. And then suddenly in one moment they're going, I did this.
Yeah.
I actually did this myself.
And that's where the enjoyment comes then from, you know, that's, I suppose, then they were never satisfied, where now they're satisfied because they realise, yeah, I have done this thing and it is great. And I was just going to backtrack a small little bit there. What was I going to ask again? That belief or that doubt that was always there, that was caused from your reckoning when they were younger and all that. You just keep talking. No, sec. I had a question there for you, and I just wanted to. Well, I can't remember what it was now, but I just wanted to word it properly.
In a study that they'd done a few years ago, they had 69 different cases, and out of the 69 different cases, 97% of those people that were actually studied, every single thing they could trace back to their childhood. They could trace back to having over-criticized parents, people who actually, you know, try to push people and challenge them too much and try to actually get them to become overachievers in life. So, you know, yeah, okay, there are going to be a certain percentage of people that would actually pick this up maybe in their teenagers or, you know, through their friends and their people inside in school and stuff like that. That does happen around bullying and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But most percentages go back to your childhood, go back to something that happened, something that if you're constantly worrying about perfectionism, worrying about as a child. And you know, a child's mind at 8 or 9 years of age compared to an adult at 18, it's a sponge.
Yeah.
They pick up on it and they understand it. And if they believe that the only way to actually live in society is to be perfect all the time, and every time that they actually get perfectionism within their child, in their family, you know, they're knocked down. So, you know, even if they get an A, they're told, oh, why didn't you get an A+?
So when
you constantly have that and you're constantly living on edge.
So they're planting a seed of doubt, really.
Exactly.
Aren't they?
Yeah. You know, you're planting that, but you're not even planting that seed of doubt. You're planting that seed that you actually can't achieve the unachievable.
Yeah.
That it's not possible. And I completely understand where parents are coming from, because you want your child to achieve, you know, the best that they possibly can. But sometimes you can actually push them too hard to achieve the unachievable.
Yeah. And another thing, I suppose, as a child, is being compared to something else or someone else, that can play on your mind.
Well, I mean, I suppose the first one you can think about is a brother or a sister. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if you're a middle child or something like that, and your older sister gets all A's, you will be expected to get all A's.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be constantly achieved, and you know, just because you aren't as good in maths as your sister is, you're constantly told, oh, you, what are you doing getting a C? You need to get an A.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly being compared to another person, you're actually going to be living in the shadow of that person
for
your life. And then suddenly you are going to constantly doubt yourself. And if your sister does well in something and you don't do as well, you're going to constantly say, okay, I need to do better. I need to achieve this. I need to do better. You know, so you're going to constantly chase, you know, when you're constantly trying to chase something that's not your belief. You're constantly chasing something that's not really you. It's just something else.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, actually. It's not your belief. That it's someone else's belief that you're living to.
Yeah.
It's someone else's blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to live to someone else's standards. You're
trying to live to someone else's
beliefs.
That's a good way
of
putting it, yeah.
I mean, we all have our own core belief, you know, and one of the main principles that I do in my psychotherapy is trying to figure out people's beliefs, their core beliefs within themselves. And when you figure out your own core belief and what your belief is, it's yours. But most people live in the shadow of their parents.
Yes.
Live in the shadow of someone else.
Yeah.
So when you're living in the shadow of someone else, you're actually following their belief structure.
You probably see the more successful people or the happiest people are the people that have probably set down and they recognize their own core belief. They recognize their blueprint. This is who I am. This is what I am. Take it or leave it.
Well, that's it. Like, I mean, there's 7 billion people on the planet. We might as well all be individual people. You know, we shouldn't be a copy of someone else.
Yeah.
We should be, you know, who we are, uniquely us.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense, actually. Yeah, that makes sense. So I suppose, look, just to wrap up, really, is if someone is listening, just to recognise, look, this is... It's normal, but it's not normal.
Well, yeah, I suppose I just want people to actually recognize that something in them isn't right. And as I say, the milder versions can be just literally somebody saying, "Oh, I heard what Shane said on the radio the other day.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Oh, okay." And they can change.
Yeah.
Whereas the more extreme measures, go talk to a therapist.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. So Shane, as always, thank you very much. And we'll see you in the studio next week again.
Thanks very much, Gary.
Thank you very much.